I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with my fabulous co-host for Food Talk, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm well, and I'm admiring your color combination with your apron and your turtle neck. Very nice.
Thank you. It's kind of maroon, purple, and orange, for any of you out there wondering. It might have been what my feet hit this morning.
Well, it's really nice.
Thank you.
And you do have your apron on, so.
Yes. I almost forgot I had to run back in the house.
You can't come here without your apron because we're always going to ask you.
Oh, I know. And it was so sad because when you run back in the house, the dogs are like, "You did forget us. You did." Like, no, I'm sorry, little buddies.
Gonna leave you twice?
Yes, yes. Oh, torture.
Well, it is sunny but cold. What have you been cooking?
Well, it's Martin Luther King Day.
I know, so.
This is our second holiday that we've had a show in a row.
I know. What is the deal?
I don't know. I'm feeling kind of special.
I'm not sure that we're special. We're just on Mondays.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, all holidays are officially on Monday now, so.
I'm thinking of calling this episode, "I Have a Dreamsicle."
Oh, dreamsicles.
Yeah. Know me?
Yeah. No kidding.
You know, I don't think I've had one beyond my childhood.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're called dreamsicles anymore.
Really?
I think they're called creamsicles.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And why would you change that?
Yeah, it's just one letter, one away in the alphabet. It seems like an awful lot of work for the typesetters.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
Oh, that's another thing they don't have anymore is typesetters.
Oh, my God. We need to talk about something that actually exists.
I know.
Well, you and I have been cooking soup together.
Yes, and that was a lot of fun. There's that soup series going on at the Food Web. That was a lot of fun. We made clam chowder and a Tuscan bean soup.
Yep.
And
it's soup weather.
Yeah.
Regardless of where you're making soup, yeah, it'd be a good time to do it.
Yeah. I made some black bean soup too, and I'm trying to find I want my beans to be organic, so I was trying to find some organic beans, and there is such a wide there's just such a big difference between black beans. Do you know what I mean?
How yes.
You get some black beans and they're almost just like beans. The soup doesn't even look like black bean soup. And that's what happened to me. When you're done, the beans are black on the outside, but they're just beans on the inside. Do you know what I mean? They're not black. And they don't have that. They're not as tasty as black beans either. And I'm sure they are black beans legally, but there's a big difference from black bean to black bean. And so I have to try a different brand.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to choose from, but when they're all black on the outside, you don't know till you cook them.
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on.
Yeah.
And also the deal with dried beans, which we discovered at the soup class, is that we discovered as a group, but I think we've all discovered individually over time, mm-hmm, is that if your dried beans are really old.
Yeah, even more than a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like you can't cook them, but the amount of time it takes to get them soft, yeah, is expands over time.
And for me, I found that you just can't get them totally soft.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what you do to them and how long, they'll go to a certain point and then they just don't go any farther.
Yeah. And there's that salt thing too, where they say if you put salt in your beans while they're cooking, they won't ever get soft. You have to wait and season at the end.
Do you think that's true? Do you know from experience?
I don't know from experience. I always chose to believe.
Yeah,
that.
Why not? Yeah,
because
and me too, because I didn't want to test it. Oh, yeah. Yay, they were right. I got a big old pot of tough beans.
Yeah, right.
Like when you know, advantage versus benefit, or benefit versus, I can't even think. We need a third person here.
We do. I bet we could find one. Well, anyway, I think that this is a really good time to use dried beans, mm-hmm, for soup because, you know, it's winter. We, mm-hmm, can soak them and let the soup simmer all day long. Put it in a slow cooker if you're off to work and, yeah, come home to something fabulous. It's a perfect time of year.
And there's that new fad. I don't even know if it's a fad, but that Instapot.
Yeah, so what about it?
Okay, so I don't have one. I do have a friend that has one. And we were talking about them at the soup place because if you look like at, you know, bestseller cookbook lists, so many of the cookbooks are Instapot things, Instapot cookbooks, and people are so into them. So if I understand right, it's kind of like an electric pressure cooker. So you don't have all the valves and you don't put it on the heat. You just plug it in. But it makes beans, especially really fast, like 30, 40 minutes. Wow. You just put dried beans in there and then you got done beans when you're done. And it's essentially a pressure cooker.
Okay.
But people just love it. I mean, I haven't seen a reaction to something like this cooking wise really ever. I mean, maybe the KitchenAid mixer, but that wasn't so like sudden, you know, it was like people would get one and love it. But but this just kind of got to America.
What do they cost? Because, you know, a KitchenAid is an investment.
Yeah, you go see the financing guy.
Right. So that may be why, you know, like everybody wasn't running out to get a KitchenAid. But yeah. I don't know about an Instapot. It may be more affordable. I have no idea.
No, I don't either.
But I also don't understand why you wouldn't just use your pressure cooker then.
Well, and then that's the thing, because I am scared to death of pressure cookers, because both of my grandmothers, and there's photographs that are so famous in our family of them just bandaged up like mummies. Both my grandmothers had really serious, you know, like blowing up
exploding
stuff all over the ceiling.
Yeah.
Pressure cooker things. And so I've always thought, man, genetically,
you're doomed.
I am just predispositioned not towards the pressure cooker, and so I just never did it because I know, like, pretty much everything I do, if I get good at it, it's because I've made all the mistakes, and it's one reason we've talked about that I don't can vegetables, because I just don't know if I'm focused enough not to make a mistake that would kill my family, you know.
Yeah.
And same thing with the pressure cooker. Yeah. Good morning. I'm just going to turn this boom. Oh yeah, I hadn't had coffee.
Well, you know, the new pressure cookers are so much different than my old one that has the little rocking thing on top that, you know, makes a happy little noise when it's burbling away. So I think that they probably are safer than they used to be.
And I know that I'm wrong. I mean, I'm not in any way like proselytizing against the pressure cooker. I know that I'm wrong, but I just don't want to take the chance for myself.
So are you inclined toward a hot pot or whatever it is?
Oh, Instapot?
Instapot.
No, just because of that whole blowing up thing. I mean, sometimes I think just because of like our house getting destroyed and then the year after that power surge coming through and blowing up everything that was plugged in, I think that I might have made God just a little bit angry at some point in my life. And any door I open, I don't know what I did, but I did something.
Oh, God. I think you might be paid in full by now. However,
paid in full.
I am not at all inclined to run out and get an Instapot.
Paid in full through muffins.
That's right.
I've been to the muffin top.
In restaurants, at least the ones I've worked in, you don't soak dry beans. You put them in a pot with water, a regular stock pot, and you just cook them long enough.
So often in the restaurants I've worked in, it's a crock pot overnight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there
not
you go.
A pressure cooker, but just a crock pot. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's an easy way, and odds are it's not going to blow up on you.
Yeah.
So. If you do beans that way, they're not liable to blow up until after you eat them. So there. Hey, so what do you know about eating citrus with dried beans? Chili or any kind of bean dish, if you eat orange segments or pineapple with that, the beans are not nearly as excitable as they normally would be.
I always heard that. What is that?
Epazote.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say Esposito. No, that's a person.
I've always heard that, but I never. Oh, no, that's a shoe.
It's a word. It starts with E. Figure it out. Another reason we're not nationally syndicated. You only get clues to what we're saying.
We have no clue, actually, most of the time.
I'd never heard that. Have you ever tried that? The citrus? Oh, yeah, I had no idea.
I do it all the time. And I also think that it is a really particularly delicious combination. And black beans and oranges, fabulous. So if you were, say, in Brazil having feijoada, you would almost always get oranges with that.
I had no idea.
It's really good. I urge you to try it.
Okay.
Just go ahead. And it's citrus season right now.
With my non-black beans.
Yeah, black beans. Right. Well, you're wannabe black beans. Well, what else have you been cooking lately? Anything?
Well, I did have, yes, I've been cooking stuff, but my friend Diane made some lasagna the other night.
Yeah.
And so, you know how we were talking about how when you want to make something your own, you know, like you change little things or not change little things, but just do stuff to make it your own. So she makes really good lasagna. So she was just dinking around with it, just trying to make it better. So she thought about each separate stage, each separate part, rather, of the lasagna. So like she took the mushrooms and she roasted them in the oven.
Oh, so good.
And then she took the onions and she sauteed them till they were almost caramelized. And then the cheese mixture, her friend Jan put spinach in it, which is a really good idea, I think. And I'd never thought of that. And I love vegetable lasagna and I love regular meat lasagna. And why not combine them, you know?
Duh. Exactly.
Anyway.
So that's the ricotta and spinach.
And eggs. And so she tried to make that as special as she could. And then she used some fresh spinach pasta. I mean, so every part of it, she thought really hard about and tried to make it really good. And it was really good. She just makes really good Italian things. She does. But anyway, a really interesting thing happened. So she's trying to make everything as good as she can. And I didn't talk to her a whole lot about the cheese, but I know because the spinach, I don't know if she made it richer by putting more eggs in there and what, but that thing in the oven, it went up like a souffle. It was the most spectacular thing. We were sitting there and she was smelling something. She's like, it smells like my lasagna is burning. How could it be burning? And so then she looked in there and she had taken it out to put cheese on top. And so it just wasn't quite done at that point. And so in a short amount of time, it just went up beyond the pan.
Wow.
It was the most, I mean, it was hilarious and it was spectacular. And that thing was all puffed up. And you know how you're like, well, what do we do? I mean, you know, how high is it going to go? And then just like a souffle, when she took it out of the oven, it settled down. And it was back down to its regular size. But I bet it went like 2/3 again. Its size up in the air. Nothing
like a
regular lasagna burbling away, you know, and
that's
getting a little
totally
taller.
I know. Souffle thing.
I know. It was so funny. And so anyway, that was quite the surprise. I'd never thought about lasagna souffle. And it was delicious. I mean, it was so good, but it was also scary and spectacular.
Oh, liner pan.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Cheese, melted cheese in the bottom of the oven. Nothing like it.
Yes, except for maybe sugar.
Oh, sugar's good, yes. I still have multi-laminates of boiled over pie filling on the bottom of my oven.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just waiting for it to turn into ash.
Oh, yeah.
And it slowly does.
Throw it away and get a new one. What? Did I say that? That's how I do checking accounts.
I totally want a new stove, and there is no way I can justify it, but I so would love to have a new stove. And I'm not beyond throwing it away and getting a new one, not where the stove is concerned, but I just did that with my car because, you know, a rat ate my car.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
This is such an appropriate subject for a food show. But a rat ate my car
to
the
car. Car was food.
And I'm telling you, that rat preferred that to everything I tried to entice it with.
Ugh.
All of the possibilities. Anyway, in the end, the rat won, and I'm getting another car. Because, really, now
I need a rat.
Now the computer in the car is unreliable, in addition to holes in the upholstery and obnoxious odors and stuff. So on that note, let me remind everyone that you're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, and KTCV 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web, where we are making soup on Wednesday nights right now, in addition to making some soup for the Warming Center. And also we have a very cool spice class coming up. If you're interested in cooking classes, go to northcoastfoodweb.org and check the calendar. But the fabulous Pat Milliman from Pat's Pantry is going to be teaching a spice class on the last Wednesday of every month. And this one coming up this month is Lebanese.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know thing one about Lebanese cuisine.
I don't know. I mean, I have been to Lebanese restaurants and I love the food, but I don't cook that. And I really want to start going to these spice classes because I would love to be able to actually cook something lovely and completely different at home. And it's hard to, you know, I love my husband and I know what he likes and I tend to try to make things.
Yeah, make him happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to try to make things he likes or things that closely resemble things that he likes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the, ooh, gravy kind of thing. So the other night I actually made SOS, you know what I mean?
Oh.
But not chipped beef.
Okay.
I did it. I just had a pound of really nice ground beef.
Yeah.
And caramelized some onions and made some gravy and he was so happy.
I've only made that a couple times because I get to hear then all the Coast Guard names for that dish.
Yes.
And I'm just like, oh.
It's dinner time.
I know. Thank you. Thank you again for telling me all those names.
Well, you can kind of, you know, I can kind of fool him because I don't actually put it on toast and I don't use chipped beef. I put it on smashed potatoes and use other kinds of meat, but it is still really good. It's just meat and gravy over starch.
Yeah. My mom used to make it with that dried beef that you get in the little teeny tiny packages at the store that are like, you know, 79 cents each. And she would just cut it up in a white sauce and put it over toast. And we thought we'd gone to heaven.
Yep. That's exactly right. And I think that is the traditional, in my experience, that is the traditional.
How could we be having something so complex? It has three parts.
And ooh, gravy. So we're all happy.
My paternal grandmother was an excellent cook, just really an outstanding cook. And she was so kind to my mother because after she died, I found these, and I know I've talked about them, these little notebooks, the little kind that you can just fit in your breast pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And they have the little brr at the top and they flip. And she would fill them, my grandmother, with recipes. And I've got 50 years worth of them, but they weren't her recipes.
Oh.
They were recipes that that were at functions, parties, people's houses that she went to. And you could totally tell because there would be a recipe and it would be written just like a recipe, a cup of flour, you know, two teaspoons of yeast, like that. And then there were recipes and she would just write down, first what you do is you make the sweet dough like you do for the sticky buns, and then you add a few almonds, and then if you feel like it. I mean, she was just writing down what the people say, you know. And so it was so interesting how each recipe was in the style of the person she was getting it from. But she would ask my mother for recipes, and the recipes, like mom's chicken almond ding, was you take a can of chicken almond ding and some minute rice. and she was just so kind to ask my mom for recipes when it was so clearly either two or three different opened cans combined in a pot and then warmed up, and then hallelujah when we got the microwave in 1979. And so they are in there, just the that's the one I remember. It was a can of chicken almond ding and then minute rice and then a can, and they came in cans then of those noodles, those those crunchy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The little crunchy noodles, not the crunchy onions.
No, no, but you know what I mean. I don't even know what you call them. I don't even know if they exist anymore.
I haven't seen them for
decades.
Yeah. Well.
But I thought that was really kind.
That's very sweet. Yeah, I have a couple of handwritten spiral notebooks of my grandmother's recipes. Some of the things in there I have never had anywhere else.
Really?
Yeah. So I hang on to it both because it makes me happy to see that handwriting, and the other thing is that there are certain things she did that I never had anywhere else. So happy to have that.
Yeah.
It's interesting about recipes and how, I mean, it's a connection, right? It's a generational connection that is science and useful, practical, and, you know, an emotional, a heart connection mm-hmm. to, it's pretty much the ultimately perfect thing to pass on, mm-hmm. I think. It beats the heck out of furniture
or, yes.
or whatever it else it is that you want to give somebody who doesn't really want it, you know. Mm-hmm. I was reading an article recently about how millennials and generations beyond that are not interested in having their parents' old stuff.
No, uh-uh.
I'm not interested, and I'm way millennial to the third.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not interested in all that old stuff, but I do like my grandmother's recipe book.
Yeah,
gotta say.
Yeah,
I gotta say, I am trying to think what else I have made since I saw you. I made apple cake.
Oh, did you? You have yeah. such good apple cake.
Well, I've decided that, I mean, I love it because it's really moist.
Mm, moist and dense, but not like heavy and just delicious. Dark, good. Mm.
Yeah, and really apple-y. Really, mm-hmm. really, really apple-y. Mm-hmm. But I think that I was a little heavy on the brandy this last time. I think it went one click beyond moist. What's the next click beyond moist?
It's got to have like a label on it, 21 and over.
I know. And it's and it should probably sit for a couple of weeks like fruitcake. Yes, you know yes. what I mean? Before. Otherwise, you need a spatula to get it off the serving tray. But it's really delicious. Anyway, yeah, funny.
I really like that.
And I also made it in a great big pan because it was for an event and I wanted to be able to cut it kind of like brownies.
Okay.
And the pan was a lot deeper.
Okay.
So I probably should have baked it
you know,
hair longer.
It's wasteful, but I have found that if you make a big deep pan of something and then you cut it with a round cookie cutter, people think it's so special.
Oh.
And it's all it is just cut with a round cookie cutter. And then when you cut it with a round cookie cutter, there's all those weird little corners, and then Dale gets to eat those.
Oh, see, that's kind of perfect. Totally perfect.
Yeah, yeah. But isn't that funny that the shape would change the perception?
Yeah, I think that that's true too with top crusts on pie. If you,
oh yeah,
you know, I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than a traditionally covered mm-hmm. double crust pie that's all golden and has been egg washed or whatever, and it's all shiny and golden and perfect with mm-hmm. its steam vents. But it's also fun to just cut that top crust into some kind of shape with cookie cutters, even just round mm-hmm. and overlap them on the top and have it seem like a big darn deal.
This is so special. I want this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's why we dress up. It's kind of the same thing.
Maybe. Do you dress up? Because I hardly ever dress up.
No. God, no. Oh, lucky if I have a shower. Oh, we got a new shower head. Oh, that's
what?
So exciting. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah. So tell me this story. Tell everyone this story, because did you get a third new shower head?
Oh, no, we have one that works now.
Oh, okay.
But ours cracked, and that's not the kind of thing I would notice, because I don't have that kind of vision. If I'm in the shower with my glasses off, if there's anything smaller in there than, say, a Springer Spaniel, I'm not going to notice. But Dale has the opposite kind of vision I do. So without his glasses, he can see things close up. So he saw that the shower head was cracked. And I need one with a lot of different settings, you know, the blaster settings, so I can get the soap out of my hair, because otherwise it just does not come out of my hair. So he got one with a bunch of settings, but it was a water saver one. Have you ever encountered
yeah.
one of those?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So regular, I think it was called regular. It had different settings. It's actually misnamed. It should be called dribble. And then it goes all the way down to mist.
Really?
What use is mist? The only thing I have ever in my life, and I mean, I racked my brains, used mist for is African violet.